Steve, I would say hello and I would say happy Monday, but we're actually pre-recording this one because you are off in a tropical paradise. So I hope you're enjoying yourself as this comes out.
Yeah, hopefully I'm heading to Hawaii for a few days, a little family vacation. So hopefully I'm sitting on a beach, no matter what time of day it is, drinking a Corona or something like that.
Yeah. So we're pre-recording this one and wanted to tackle a couple Q&A topics from you guys. So a couple questions, that are fairly basic, but I think are super helpful. And, it's one of those things where I was listening to something just the other day, and they were talking about how there's such a big learning curve to get into hunting. And I know something that you and I love to do is just make people realize it's possible. So even these more basic questions are things that we definitely always want to address. But one of the first, we had a guy contact us who's zero hunting experience, has never done it in any form, and at the same time he wanted to bow hunt. And so in the end he was basically asking, is he crazy for being a beginner hunter and thinking he can do that with archery equipment, or should he, get some experience with a rifle and things like that and then consider picking up a bow? So just there's a lot there, but what are your general thoughts on that, Steve?
General thoughts, no, absolutely not crazy. I think you could argue a lot of pros for starting out bow hunting. That obviously developing the form and good accuracy with a bow is just going to take more effort than a rifle. I think just about anybody could grab a rifle, and if it's assume it's sighted in and you never shot one before, 4 hours later, you could probably be efficient enough to go kill an animal at 100 or 200 yards. It's not rocket science, right? But a bow takes time and practice and a lot more dedication. And I would say at the bare minimum 2 to 3 months, if you're physically fit, able to draw the bow and hold it back, to get to a point where you could go hunting. So that would definitely, take some work. And you'd also probably need, if you're just completely green as far as shooting a bow and all that goes into it, you're definitely going to want to find like a local pro shop, that someone there that can kind of walk you through tuning and all that stuff. So there's a hurdle there, but the actual hunting, you get to get out in the field earlier, you get to hunt animals that are less pressured, you got better weather, there's going to be less hunters out there, so it's kind of not as intimidating. I would say, there's a lot of pros going for you there. And also you're learning, probably learning the hard way first, which I think could be a good thing. It's funny, I remember my first few years of bow hunting, we have this late season tag for deer, and I was able to draw it a few years in a row. And it was one of those things, there was so much opportunity because you'd see like a couple hundred deer a day, that I never really developed very good stalking skills or patience or anything like that. Because you could, if I saw a buck, I'd literally just like run straight out of excitement and try to shoot it, and it, freaking never worked out. But it didn't matter, because like you'd blow that opportunity and turn around and glass another buck up, a half mile away, and you'd go run after that one. So I think, I started out on the wrong path there, and had to kind of readjust a few years into hunting to figure out like, okay, you got to slow down and make every opportunity count. So learning to bow hunt and learning to get close and be quiet and hunt the wind and all the things that go into making yourself a good hunter, I think that's not a bad way to start out. So
I mean, I think there's a bigger learning curve there, but I think the sooner the better. Like, you might as well just get started. I wouldn't say, oh yeah, hunt rifle for 2 years so that you can become a hunter and then figure it out. Because even if you did that, bow hunting's so different. I mean, being able to take something from a few hundred yards is so different than being at 30. It's a whole different skill set, and the way you evaluate shot opportunities and get into position and range, and I mean, there's so much that goes into that. I would say, yeah, sooner the better. And like you said, give it at least a few months. I know for me personally, years back when I picked up a bow seriously for the first time and was pretty much doing everything self-taught, I think I purchased my bow in probably May, April, May, somewhere in there. And then, was able to take my first deer that October. So, there's good several months, and I was, disciplined about practicing in those months and figuring things out. And then obviously, you know, anytime you're making that pursuit into the field and you're new, just be realistic with what your skills are and then, you know, evaluate your shot opportunities accordingly. So, you know, don't get sucked into, oh, well, of course you can kill an elk at 60 yards or whatever. Like, if you're only comfortable at 30, then stick to 30 and that's cool and do your thing, you know?
As one thing I'd add to that too is just have very realistic expectations. Maybe your first year rifle hunting and you have a good tag or a good unit you're hunting with, you know, a lot of deer or elk, you might be like, all right, there's a good chance I'm going to kill something. I would just plan on not killing something your first 2 years of bow hunting. If you're here in Idaho or something like out west. And if you do, that's a bonus, but I would go into it with the expectations of hunting as smart as you can and learning, and don't be disappointed if you come home with, you know, your tag still in your pocket.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. Yeah. I think that's good. So yeah, if you guys are out there and in that position, absolutely pick up a bow. You can do it. Just, put in the time, put in the effort, get started. And, you know, I would say get started yesterday, make it happen. So
yeah.
Another question. This was a you know, again, another pretty basic question, but something that comes up over and over again, and I think is always helpful to clarify. So somebody's asking, if the most opportune times for animal activity are at dawn and dusk, what fills the other 10 hours of your day? The answer is hunting. I mean, so I think it, you know, you can come up with all kinds of scenarios, right? But whether you're deer hunting, elk hunting, and obviously, you know, maybe there's some exceptions to certain animals who are only coming out at certain times, but in general, like most of what we talk about with you know, elk hunting, mule deer hunting, I mean, it's, you have to be out there. And goodness, as I think back, you know, most of the encounters I've had specifically on like Western hunts and thinking of elk hunts have been in that midday time. How about for you, Steve?
Yeah, I would, you know, the handful of animals I killed, I would say 70-80% have not been that first half hour of light or half hour of, or sunset. So, yeah, hunt all day. You know, we used to, when we started bow hunting, we definitely did the, I think, very traditional get up, do a morning hunt, come back to hang out, eat lunch, take a nap, and then you go back out at 5 p.m. for an evening hunt. And, basically at some point along the way, we just switched to, you just hunt all day, sun up to sundown, and take a nap on the side of the hill if you get, you know, lunchtime, and, you'll be amazed at the more opportunities that you're going to create for yourself. So the animals do bed down, they're going to be less visible, but they're also like more relaxed and stationary, versus in the morning and evening, they're moving, right? They're heading from bedding grounds to feeding grounds or vice versa. And they can also be kind of harder to get in front of and get on. So, especially if you want to catch a deer in its bed and actually have a chance to stalk it, if they're up moving and feeding, that just kind of, you got to be constantly adjusting, and that makes that a lot more tricky.
Yeah.
Assuming you're bow hunting, rifle hunting, if they're up and moving, that's probably a good thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, same. I can think of very specific scenarios where we learned that lesson the hard way, even with elk, where we knew where elk were moving in the morning and they were vocal. In the first day or two, we thought we had to like make the move right then. But after trying that and then them outsmarting us or, you know, always staying ahead of us, we figured out, hey, what if we're patient? What if we wait till they settle down? What if we wait till they bed? And then at 11 o'clock, what if we then start hunting them? You know, let's stick with them and trail with them, but not be super aggressive until we decide to make a play, until they're more bedded down and things have settled. And that worked out great for us. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, if you want to take that midday nap and everything like that, all for it. But as you said, do it on the side of the hill, get close to where you think they might be. And, you might catch them coming through, you might catch them, you know, throw out that bugle, what have you, but yeah, be out there and be hunting. And, yeah, it can be super good to be out there in the middle of the day for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So this week on the full show, we talk quite a bit about sleeping bags and sleeping quilts and the differences, and really geek out not only just on the differences of sleeping bags and quilts, but get into, you know, down versus synthetic, and then different types of down. We get into temperature ratings, that whole discussion. We have a good conversation with the guys from Katabatic Gear. So they build sleeping quilts, and, you know, small company, kind of in that it's space, you know, just a small company making really high quality products. That made me think of kind of what we're doing with EXO. So we want to talk to them, not just about their products, but about this whole conversation on sleeping bags and sleeping quilts and go into the pros and cons. What are some of the thoughts or takeaways you had from that one, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, he just definitely kind of confirmed a lot of questions I had in my head, or theories that I had, you know. And yeah, at the end of the day, they make some awesome quilts, and I'm a huge fan of quilts, man. I switched probably 5 years ago, something like that, 4 or 5 years ago, and I don't think I'll ever go back to a sleeping bag. So.
Yeah, so with that one, it was good. That was one of the shows where beforehand we reached out on Instagram and basically just asked the audience, you know, what questions do you have just in general about sleeping bags, sleeping quilts? And we were able to work a lot of those questions into the show. So I know for sure that the questions you guys submitted are the questions that might be on your mind, even if you weren't the one to submit the question, we'll address in this show. So be sure to check this one out with Katabatic Gear. And thank you guys always for tuning in.